Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Stokers and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, that's WBEST. Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 8:06 a.m. and it is 58 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and debate the host about the show that he or she loves the most. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport that they love the most. Today's topic is NFL Week 8 and Monday Night Football Week. Monday Night Football recap. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding NFL Week 8 action to include Monday Night Football results, The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a global listening audience to include NBA, MLB, and NHL scores and results. All right, let's get off into it. You know, across the wire this morning, got a lot of news across the wire this morning. Hopefully this morning I'll have my number one sports contributor call in, D.C. out of Maryland. Hopefully he'll call in this morning and talk a little bit about what happened Monday Night Football and how that affects the team he loves the most, which is the Baltimore Ravens, of course. And I'm going to be debating him this morning regarding some trade information that I got that the Baltimore Ravens pulled at the last minute before they played my New Orleans Saints. I'm not happy for the fact that they went out and got Roquan Smith. They just couldn't play his head up next week, you know, going into week 9. You know, they looked at the way the Saints played this weekend. Saints was dominant against the Las Vegas Raiders this weekend. And you know, DC, you know, I need him to put his general manager's hat on and explain to me why at the last minute they went and got Roquan Smith from the Chicago Bears. You know, they took Roquan Smith away from the Bears, you know, which kind of like puts one of my favorite young quarterbacks in Chicago, put him in a bad situation, you know, because now he got to play that much more better because he don't have a solid defense. So they let two major defenders go within 7 days, if I'm correct. You know, they let one guy go then to turn around and let Smith go. You know, Roquan Smith, who was in my opinion, if I'm correct, I think a lot of people consider him the best player on that team, you know. So I want to get off into some of that when DC calls in, you know, mainly the reason why, you know, they found the need to Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens found the need to go ahead and trade for Roquan Smith. They found the need to trade for him, you know, right before they played with my New Orleans Saints. So I want to talk a little bit to my number one sports contributor, D.C., calling out of Maryland about that. So as soon as he calls in, I'm going to let him know that today he will be treated like a hostile witness on, you know, as I question him on the stand. He will be treated like a hostile witness today. So meaning I'm going to come at him. I'm coming at him hard. But in other news, the Nets beat the Pacers 116-109 to move to 2-5 on the season. KD had 36 points. Did Brooklyn snap the four-game skid because Ben Simmons was out? So I guess because Ben Simmons wasn't on the basketball court, you know, they played better with him being on the bench. There we go with that nonsense again. You know, Ben Simmons is not a shooter. They won the game because the Nets did what they were supposed to do. Put the ball in who hand? KD. Give the ball to KD. Just give the ball to KD. Let Kyrie bring the ball up. Dish the ball to KD. KD can't get the shot. He'll kick it back to Kyrie. Kyrie will do what he do. Use his handles. Get to the rack. Use his handles. Take a great shot because he's a shooter too. And be done with it. Also in news about Kyrie, they're saying something about he's in trouble with the media because he said something anti-Semitic, something anti-Semitic about a movie. So he's in a little bit of hot water with the media inside of sports and outside of sports. You know, they got to understand, you know, y'all got to understand people like Kanye West, Kyrie Irving, they think from another type of level. They're what you call narcissists. And if I'm correct, the term narcissist meaning, you know, you believing that you're something that you're not. You have like a god-like, semi-god-like mentality. And a lot of people don't understand your way of thinking because it's way left field. It's way left field, and people are looking at you like, why would you say something stupid like that, or whatever the case may be. You know, like when they were saying something like about Kyrie was saying, whether I believe the earth is flat. Well, we got pictures of the earth, and the earth ain't flat, it's round. So, I mean, I don't get it. But anyway, that's what's in the news. We also got a lot of stuff going on. You know, of course, the Dallas Cowboys are always in the news. You know, they was talking about, you know, what trade picks they probably need to because I think the trade deadline might be today. But I'll find out and clarify that once my number one sports contributor comes on the show, DC. I'll find out because he knows about a lot of little small details like that I don't know. That's why it's always good to have people come in and contribute to the show because you can't know everything. And if you're listening out there in the global audience, We are still looking for a news desk contributor. We're looking for a news desk contributor, so definitely send in your resumes to my email, which is rdforand@gmail.com. That's Romeo Delta Foxtrot, E-R-R-A-N-D, rdforand@gmail.com. If you can't figure that out, just DM me on Twitter at Foran Sports, and that's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, Sports, S-P-O-R-T-S. And the F is capitalized and the S in Sports is capitalized. So that's at Foran Sports on Twitter. And that's for the for all you out there listening globally live. If you're interested in having a career in sports broadcasting, you can come on here and help. And I can help you create your reel by allowing you to work on the show. I can't pay you anything. I don't like to call things internships. I just say if you want to come on the show and work and build your reel, I have a platform for you to come on here. And these shows are recorded. And I already have at least the foundation of a sports show in place. All you have to do is, you know, let me know you want to come on the show. You don't have to do it every day, but if you want to do it a couple times a week. And also fill in for the host sometime, which is myself. When I have something to do, you can fill in. So my show is kind of like set up to be sort of like the herd. It's not really set up like Undisputed or First Take to where it's more debate style. Moderator, then a debate style format is not really so much that. I don't really like to have a DC call on here in most cases, and we're like talking over each other. I kind of like, you know, to let him get his point out. I get my point out. And then, you know, if I got somebody on here, I got a new show, new segment called Versus, meaning DC, my number one sports contributor versus my other sports contributors, as they call in, you know, so it'll be like DC versus, you know, DC versus the world, basically. So whoever wants to call in and debate him on anything NBA, MLB, and NFL related, you know, that'll be my new versus segment on the show. But with that being said, just gonna start chilling out some hockey scores and stuff like that. They come across the monitor and things of that nature. So, you know, we got the Ducks and the Sharks in the NHL action tonight, 10:30 Eastern, Ducks and the Sharks tonight. So we'll see how that turns out. Guess I'm going to have to roll with the Ducks, you know, being the fact it's a West Coast situation. Well, actually, well, the Ducks is closer to me in L.A., Sharks up in San Jose. So two California West Coast teams. So, yeah. They're saying Cooper Kupp avoided structural damage to his ankle. Sean McVay, the head coach for the Rams, said they think he'll be okay. So that's good news for the L.A. Rams. I think I heard something Sean McVay said. He should have took them out the game and just started running the ball or something like that when they took that L Sunday against the 49ers. So, you know, it is what it is. Last night, the Cleveland Browns pulled out a big win against the who was we playing last night. It's still a little early. I hear the late night dog still a little foggy, but in NFL Monday night football action, the Cleveland Browns, they did win last night, and then it actually surprised me because I didn't think that that Jacoby Brissett was going to be able to outduel Joe Burrow with the Cincinnati Bengals. That's who they played. It was the Browns and the Bengals last night, which is both of those teams are in the same division as the Baltimore Ravens. So that's why I want my man DC to call in. So DC, if you're out there, stop hiding and get on the show. Stop hiding and get on the show. I want you on the show. Because when it all comes down, you got to give account to why, you know, you guys went and drafted, made a major draft pick to play against the Saints on next week, Monday Night Football. So next week on Monday Night Football, we got the Saints and the Ravens. So that's going to be on Tuesday morning, the big showdown between me and DC about the results of that one. And I feel like the way the Saints played on Sunday against the Las Vegas Raiders, I feel like that we're going to stomp a mud hole off in the Baltimore Ravens. So all I got to say is that offensive line better make sure that they stop Cam Jordan and the rest of my defensive line, because we're going to be coming at Lamar. He's not going to be able to run around and do things that he normally do against other teams, because we're going to contain him. We're going to contain him. We're going to put out a lot of nickel backs, you know, meaning we're going to put out a lot of a cornerback slash linebacker type players. We'll put our nickelbacks out there. We're going to put a lot of linebacker slash cornerback size players. We're not going to use no big linebackers. We're going to use some smaller active linebackers that's going to contain, that's going to keep him, Lamar Jackson, contained. And we're going to make him participate in the game as a quarterback. He's not going to be able to participate in the game against the Saints as a running back, using his legs, getting out of the pocket, and just taking off on us. No. We're going to contain our edge. He's going to stay back there. He's going to have to get comfortable playing quarterback. He's going to have to use his arm. He's going to have to be smart, show his IQ at quarterback, and that's how this is going to go down. And I'm going to be honest with you. When you're playing against a ferocious, hungry defense like the Saints, we just got a taste of victory. It's almost like a bear. It's almost like a bear. When a bear eats a human being, you know, and he tastes a human blood, the reason why they have to put that bear down is because that bear will keep attacking a human being. That bear, once he gets a taste of human blood, he'll keep attacking humans. So that's why they have to find that bear and put that bear down, because that bear then becomes a man eater. Right now, the New Orleans Saints defense is a man eater. We tasted blood last week against the Las Vegas Raiders. We tasted Derek Carr's blood. We tasted Devontae Adams' blood. We tasted blood. Now we're hungry. If I was the Ravens' owner or general manager, I tell the coach, hey, just sit Lamar down. We already got a good position in our division. Just sit him down. Sit him down so we can go ahead on and keep him healthy. He don't need to be out there playing against a team like the Saints that's going to put damage on him, because it's going to be the same thing, just like it was. It's not going to be a Bounty Gate, but we're going to have that same intensity as Bounty Gate. It's not going to be a Bounty Gate, because we're not trying to get the coach and everybody suspended and all kind of fines and all kind of whatever. They literally tried to destroy the Saints after the Super Bowl season that we won, because to my Bounty Gate. But we're going to come with that same intensity, all kind of blitz packages containing the edge. We're going to put major hurt on the Baltimore Ravens next Monday night on Monday Night Football, and yours truly will be in front of the monitor watching it. Matter of fact, I got someone in my family, my little brother, I'm going to just use his initials. I don't like putting people's name on the air, CF. My little brother, CF, F meaning the last name, my last name, Ferran. My little brother, C. Ferran, CF, for show purposes, he will be out there reporting back to me live from I believe they're going to be in the Superdome, because he always goes to the games in New Orleans, so they're in the Superdome, so that's what they're playing at. That crowd is going to be raucous. It's going to be a raucous crowd. Lamar Jackson is not going to be able to come out there with a win. It's going to be impossible. And I know everything is possible, but I'm going to be honest, it's going to be impossible for them to come out with a victory against the Saints in the Superdome after we just played our butts off this past weekend. They can't stop Alvin Kamara. He's back. He's catching the ball. He's running the ball. He had three touchdowns against the defense of the Raiders. We're hungry. You can't get a big win like that in the Superdome, and then people think the Saints are going to come out there and just be like, oh, yeah, you know, we just riding high off last week victory. That's over with. We on to the next game, and we're hungry. We want more blood. We want more blood. We're just like a bear, a man-eating bear. If you can't put us down, we're going to continue feasting on quarterbacks. So that's all, you know, I'm going to leave it at that, because I don't want to be too braggadocious about my Saints, but we're playing good ball right now. Reports, Ravens acquiring linebacker Roquan Smith. Smith's second most tackle, 606 since entering the NFL. Again, Ravens acquiring linebacker Roquan Smith, which is why I'm upset this morning, because, you know, that's a trade that I didn't like. NFL and NHL scores, Red Wings 3, Sabres 8. Red Wings 3, Sabres 8. I'm going to just kick them all out here. I'm just kick them all out here as they come up on the monitor for my NHL scores. I did tell everybody I was going to get better at, including the NHL in my program. because it is NHL season as well. So I like to, at least if I don't do nothing else, belt out the scores for the global listening audience and any major news that breaks about NHL. I'll make sure I include the National Hockey League as the season goes on. Yeah, but it's a lot of stuff going on in the news. You know, they're talking about trading, and then the NBA news, they're talking about trading Russell Westbrook again. As usual, they're always talking about trading him, somebody trading him over to the Pacers. But the word is that, if you know, I forgot who it was, one of the players in Indiana for the Indiana Pacers. He's saying that he want to play in L.A. L.A. needs to trade for him. And all the analysts, you know, the major analysts on these sports talk shows, they're saying, be careful what you wish for, son. Be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. Be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. So, you know, when it all comes down to it, they're saying that when you play in L.A., it's a whole nother ball game. You know, you because they said the young man had a bad game last night for the Indiana Pacers. I'll find out what his name is again, but he went 0-for-10. He went 0-for-10 shooting in last night's game. I'm quite sure he's a good player. That's why he's barking, saying that he wants to come to L.A. And I think they've been talking about a trade between Indiana and L.A. Since the beginning of the season, trying to get Russell, trying to cut bait with Russell Westbrook. Although Russell Westbrook had a pretty good game this weekend in their first win, I think he dropped 18 points. I forgot how many assists and rebounds he had and how his defense looked, but they say he had a pretty solid game, but it just ain't going to be enough to keep him in Los Angeles, which is fine. I think it's time for him to cut bait with Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss. I think it's time for Russell to cut bait. This is a Hall of Famer, and he got to sit back here and keep explaining himself about why they can't use him in the right capacity. You knew you had two duplicate players when you signed for him. Him and LeBron James game is the same. Only difference is his size. LeBron James plays the same style of basketball as Russell Westbrook. Taking it to the rack. Taking it to the hole. That's what he does. So I mean, why they want to let the man go when you knew what you was getting when you got it? You knew him and Russell Westbrook and LeBron James were the same type of player. So why would you get two of the same thing? Unless he understood his role was going to be coming off the bench, running, being the captain of the second unit, and in a support role to the first unit. If they'd explained it to him before he came, he probably would just said, "All right, cool. You know, I could save my body for 3 or 4 years, and then maybe on my conciliatory years, meaning when he's about to retire, he could just say, you know, hey, you know, as a consolation prize, I'm going to play 2 more years somewhere, you know, be a vet leader, and, you know, I can either start or continue to come off the bench, but it gives me 2 more years to be around the game, around the guys, move myself into a position to be a coach, a great assistant leading up to a head coach, and maybe even the general manager, you know, like Chauncey Billups or something was looking to do at one time. But I think Chauncey Billups got away from that, and he just became a head coach. I believe he's in Portland now. But, yeah, you know, if I was Russell Westbrook, you know, that they could have came at him in a better way so he could know what his role was going to be on that team. They gave money and made it seem like, hey, man, you're going to be a starter. You're going to be AD, LeBron James, and Russell Westbrook, you know, out there, you know, on the court at all at one time. And I'm quite sure they knew in their heart that wasn't going to work. But, you know, L.A., they got to have the stars. Got to have the stars. So, you know, then, you know, I'm looking at the monitor back to NFL news. Transition back to NFL news, they're trying to say that the Raiders are probably going to be cutting bait when Black Monday come around, which is coming up soon. Black Monday's coming. It's coming, people. As soon as the last game of the season is over with, Black Monday, when it comes, it's going to be a few coaches, you know, they're going to be out of some jobs. And they're saying Josh McDaniel for the Raiders is probably going to be asked to leave. His services are probably going to no longer be needed. They're probably going to no longer be needed. So they're saying that Josh McDaniels possibly out, you know, one and done in Las Vegas. And I'm going to be honest, you know, they may have to get rid of him. They may have to get rid of him just for the simple fact that, you know, Las Vegas, they spent a lot of money to bring a winner to town. They need a winner. They didn't win, traded and got, well, I don't think they traded for Adams. What his name? I'm sorry. Devontae, I'm having a memory, a slight memory loss. I'll get his name right in a minute. But the wide receiver that they traded for, everybody knew what I'm talking about, came from the Green Bay Packers. You know, believe Devontae Adams. You know, he got shut down by the Saints this past weekend. You know, they traded for him, for Devontae Adams. And when it comes down to it, you know, they supposed to be winning. Carr to Adams, you know, they got the chemistry, they best friends and all that stuff. They went to Fresno State together. And I'm hoping I'm saying the wide receiver's name correctly. If I'm missing it, it'll come back to me. But I believe that's Devontae Adams that came from Green Bay and went to the Raiders. Best friends with Derek Carr or whatever. And they supposed to be linking up. But to Josh McDaniels' defense, I'll say this. To his defense, wasn't nobody beating the Saints Sunday. I don't care who you put out there. So I wouldn't fire the man after playing that New Orleans Saints that we saw this past weekend. I wouldn't fire him at all for the performance this weekend, because anybody's going to lay an egg against this New Orleans Saints that we saw on Sunday and that's currently in place right now. So I don't feel like they should be trying to fire the guy, because, as far as I'm concerned, you could have put the Baltimore Ravens out there against us this past Sunday, and they'd have laid an egg too. We'd have put it right to them too. So that's just the way it is. That's how we're playing ball right now. We're back. We're getting healthy, you know. And we did that, and everybody wasn't even back. Even Honey Badger almost had a pick six. He almost had a pick six. But, you know, when it all come down to it, you know, we got our quarterback issues straightened out. We're putting Taysom Hill in there. We're putting Taysom Hill in there when we need to put him in there. But Andy Dalton, we just settled down. And, hey, that's our quarterback, Red Rifle. Andy Dalton, playoff quarterback out of TCU, been around the league for a minute. Subbed in there for who he subbed in for. He subbed in for Dak Prescott when he was hurt. What was that, year before last? Then last year he was in a support role with the Chicago Bears. You know, it's just, Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, that's our quarterback. And we look good. He's moving the ball. He's getting the ball to our primary weapon, which is Alvin Kamara. The ball is getting out to our primary weapon, Alvin Kamara. I watched that game, and I don't even recall him throwing the ball to too many other people. Every time I look up, it was either Kamara was running the ball or he was getting the ball thrown to him. He scored three touchdowns. So, I mean, it was a fairly easy day. Dalton to Kamara. That's the new link of Dalton to Kamara. Jameis Winston, he's on the sideline in the support role, holding the clipboard, cheerleading, making sure that everybody, you know, getting the signals and everything like that from the offensive coordinator. He's in the support role. He's there if we need him for the playoffs. Leave Jameis there. If we can get a playoff run, we can use him for the playoffs. Of course, if Andy Dalton get hurt, of course, we got Jameis Winston. But it needs to be just like it is. Jameis Winston coming off the bench. He got to be in a support role like Russell Westbrook right now. We need him all coming off the bench. Come in and give us a little bit of a spark. And so he can sit back on the sideline and kind of like look and see what Andy Dalton is doing and kind of like look. So when he gets his opportunity again to come in the game, you know, he has that much more knowledge or whatever to see how these games should be ran, you know, with the new coach and everything like that. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff, you know, out here today to talk about. But the time on deck here is 8:31 a.m., and this is Stokers and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBES, TW Best. I am your host, Romero Ferrant, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. If you'd like to call in and debate the host about anything sports-related this morning, you can call in at 515 602-9687, 515-602-9687. You can call in and talk about whatever sport you like, anything that they cover on TV, horse racing, camel racing, dog racing, badminton, water polo, handball, pie eating contest, hot dog eating contest, whatever they show on the monitor that they consider a sport, you can call in and debate me about or boast about the sport you love. I may not know about the sport, but you definitely can teach me. And if you may not know about what I'm talking about, and I definitely can teach you. The Stoke is a radio show. Stoke is a bit radio show. It can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our topic for today, for those of you just tuning in, is NFL Week 8 Monday Night Football Recap. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding NFL Week 8 action to include Monday Night Football results. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a global listening audience to include NBA, MLB, and NHL scores and results. All right, we're going to go off into our music mix this morning. I tell everybody all the time, our music is donated to us by the CEO of Team Mash and Sound Design, Keith Clizart, platinum producer Keith Clizart. And we also have some music donated by one of our local DJs here in San Diego, a good friend of mine, DJ Keith Chronic. DJ Keith Chronic, and he owns a clothing store also called In The Trunk Clothing. That's N-D-A, Trunk Clothing, In The Trunk Clothing. You can find him on Twitter and Facebook under In The Trunk Clothing, or if you want to reach out to him directly, his government name is Keith Payne on Facebook, Keith Payne on Facebook, common spelling on both names, Keith Payne, and you can find him on either on his personal page or on his business page, which is In The Trunk Clothing. If you like a mixtape from him or whatever, he does good mixtapes and everything for you artists on the underground trying to break up into mainstream music. He does good mixtapes. If you like equipment to make custom beats and everything like that, and you need mentorship, major record label distribution, call Keith Clizart, platinum producer Keith Clizart, for those type of things, you know. But both of those gentlemen has donated music to the show, and we're gonna get off into a little bit of our music mix while I try to hunt down my man DC in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm gonna try to dig him out of the atmosphere and figure out where he is, why he's hiding from me today. Out of all days, he's not calling in to the show, but I'm gonna try to dig him out and get him on this show this morning, because I want him to explain to me why they made this big trade for Roquan Smith, getting him from the Chicago Bears right before they play the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football. I don't like that trade. I think that's cheating. They should have just played us with the team that they had. But anyway, we're going to get him on the show to try to explain himself, but I'm quite sure he had something to do with that trade when he put his general manager's hat on, probably standing outside in front of the general manager's office suite down there in Baltimore, banging on the doors, trying to get them to make that trade. But anyway, let me see if I can get him on the line. Stand by. We're going to go off into some music mix. We'll be right back, folks.
Yeah.
right, everybody. Welcome back to the Stokers of Beer Radio Show. For those of you just tuning in, we're talking about NFL Week 8 Monday Night Football recap. We got coming across the wire this morning. We got the Ravens acquire NFL leading tackler, linebacker, Roquan Smith from the Bears. They got Ravens, minus 2.5 at the Saints. Ain't happening. How much does this help Lamar and Baltimore win? How much does this help Lamar and Baltimore with the Super Bowl run? I think it's a great acquisition as far as the Super Bowl run. I just don't like the fact that right before they play the Saints on Monday Night Football, which is going to be played Monday night, 8:15 Eastern, next Monday night, 8:15 Eastern, and they will be in the Superdome. But they got Baltimore projected to win minus 2.5 over the Saints. Not the way the Saints played yesterday. I don't know what dummy made that prediction up in Vegas. I don't know what dummy made that prediction. They need to get that right. They need to go back to their sports book and get that right in Vegas because that's crazy. They need to go down there to Mexico and the sports book down there too and get that straight because that's a bad prediction. Saints Ravens minus 2.5 over the Saints. That's ridiculous. But I don't like the fact that they traded for to get Roquan Smith right before they play us. They seems almost like they seen how we played Sunday and like, oh God, there's no way we can defeat the Saints offense the way Dalton was hooking up with Kamara through touchdowns. So they had to go out and get Roquan Smith. Oh, let me hear him get Roquan. We need Roquan to shut down their running game with Alvin Kamara. We can't stop Alvin Kamara. We weren't even using Mark Ingram yesterday. He was out. I think he got a bad ankle. But they looking at it like, oh, man, that offensive line opening up holes for Alvin Kamara. We need a tackler. We need a real tackler up in here. Or we're going to go and pull away from the Chicago Bears, which that guy was probably Roquan Smith was probably the best player on the Bears team. He's probably the best player. So, I'm just trying to figure out, why in the world would they make a trade, give up all what they gave up, probably gave up the whole 2 years worth of draft picks just to get them, just to make sure that they don't get embarrassed on Monday Night Football in the Superdome against my Saints. All of a sudden this morning, D.C. out of Baltimore, Maryland, I got to call him out on this. And when you listen to this show, I got to make him feel bad. Good and well, after big division Monday Night Football game against with the Browns and the Bengals, which affects his division with the Ravens, he didn't call in this morning. He didn't come to work this morning as a number one sports contributor on this show. He didn't come in and call in and talk about that. He didn't call in and give a count of why the Baltimore Ravens why the Baltimore Ravens didn't just play us with the team that they had. They just had to go and get Roquan Smith to make sure they could stand up against us next week on Monday Night Football. Some people might say, oh, man, it wasn't that deep. They wasn't trying to make this trade for that guy for one game. I could be wrong, but I'm going to look at it the way I want to look at it because it's my show. I can look at it how I want to look at it. It's my show. I said that they traded because they traded for Roquan Smith so the Baltimore Ravens could be able to stand up against the Saints on Monday night. They did all that for this one game. This one game alone. It ain't got nothing to do with the rest of the season. It's just for this one game. People can call in and debate me about that topic. If you want to call in and debate me about that, whether I'm right or wrong about that, call in to 515-602-9687. That's 515-602-9687. If you want to call in and, debate me about the way I'm looking at this. I'm going to look at it how I want to look at it because it's my show and I can do that. So the way I'm looking at it is that they seen the way that the Saints played on Monday night. They seen the way we played on Monday night. And what they're doing is they're basically just trying to save face when got Roquan Smith, add him to the Baltimore Ravens defense, and now they feel like they got a run stopper to stop Alvin Kamara. But I'm going to tell you like this here, and I'm saying this to D.C. and everybody else out there that love the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to tell you like this. Roquan Smith ain't fast enough to stop Alvin Kamara. He ain't fast enough. He's too big. He's a big linebacker. He's a big, bulky linebacker, and he cannot stop the shifty, crafty Alvin Kamara when he get off in those holes. Plus, he coming up in there and he don't even know the scheme that the Baltimore Ravens are running. He don't even know the scheme well. So they're going to try to get him in there and coach him up, and that ain't, it ain't going to work. Coming across the monitor, which team will win the NFC South? That's a hot topic. Standings, Atlanta in first place at 4-4. Tampa Bay at 3-5, number two. New Orleans 3-5 at number three. Carolina 2-6 at number four. I was hoping that the Carolina Panthers would have knocked off the Atlanta Falcons so everybody could be at 3-5. But we only one game off the lead, and we're only one game behind Tampa Bay because they beat us in that stupid game that game where the fight took place and all that stuff. And, you know, people got ejected. I think Lattimore got ejected for fighting with Evans, all this stuff, you know, that was like, what, week two? So, you know, it is what it is. But if Carolina would have won, that would have put them in first place, you know, because they'd have more wins within our division. But either way it go, everybody would have been 3-5. But Atlanta's only 4-4, and we already done beat Atlanta. So, I mean, the way I look at it is, you know, we right there. We just won game off the lead. And we playing damn good ball right now, people. We playing dang good ball. So with that being said, you know, I'm looking forward to next week, Monday Night Football action. Really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it because the Dome is going to be rocking. Like I said, I'm going to have a live reporter out there in the Superdome letting me know what's going on at that game. I might even mess around and do a live broadcast so he keep his phone on and have him telling me what's going on at the game. But this is a radio show. We try to make sure that we have clean language, so I'm not going to put my brother in that position because if he gets upset, I know he's going to have a whole lot of expletives on air. So I'm not even going to put him in that position to try to broadcast live in the Superdome. Plus, it's going to be so loud and raucous up in that dome. That dome going to be rocking, and we probably won't even get good sound quality up in there. But I will have him reporting back to me live. I will have him reporting back to me live on air. You know, I have him reporting back to me live while he's in the Superdome and everything, letting me know what's going on out there. Even though the game will be on TV, I like to hear my brother's take on all things New Orleans Saints, because he's going to tell me the real, because he'll be sitting out there seeing the raw emotions from the fans, seeing the emotions with the players on the sidelines. He's going to tell me exactly what's going on. And tell me exactly what's going on. So anyway, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on. They're talking about Aaron Rodgers. Should he pack it in? Should Aaron Rodgers pack it in? Well, you know, maybe he should. I mean, he's 38 years old. He's relegated his time to drinking ayahuasca, you know. He's relegated his time to drinking ayahuasca tea to keep his mind clear and everything like that. So, I mean, maybe he should. Maybe he should retire. Maybe it is time for him to go ahead and pack it in and let the cheese heads put the backup in, you know. You know, I mean, if you don't have love for the game no more, you know, it could be, you know, detrimental to the team. If, you know, you relegated all your time to staying calm and cool and collected, drinking psychedelics like ayahuasca tea or whatever, you know, maybe it is time for Aaron Rodgers to pack it in. I don't know. But honestly, that's just me joking. I don't think so. Aaron Rodgers is still a hell of a quarterback. You know, he can drink all the ayahuasca tea you want to because he's dangerous until the last minute. Like I said, it's only certain quarterbacks. Certain type of people in sports that I always say, if they're breathing, they're dangerous. If these guys are breathing, they're dangerous. And so in baseball, that's Matt Harper. If he's breathing, he's dangerous. If in college football, that's Nick Saban. If he's breathing, he's dangerous. He's, you know, he can come back on you and he can take it, bring his team back at any time. In boxing, that's Deontay Wilder. He's dangerous because he doesn't have to be perfect for a whole fight. You do. He only has to be perfect in one split moment. One. So, you know, that's a dangerous person. In basketball, LeBron James, if he's breathing, He's dangerous. There's multiple ones in basketball, like KD. If he's breathing, he's dangerous. In football, Tom Brady. If he's breathing, he's dangerous. Who else? Aaron Rodgers. Who are we talking about? If he's breathing, he's dangerous. Did you see him on Sunday night against the Bills? The Bills only won by, I think, about, what, 10 or 11 points? I mean, what's 11 points? 10, 11 points. I mean, you know, a touchdown and doggone field goal or whatever the case may be. I think they only won by like 10 points, if I'm correct. And so, I mean, that was against the Buffalo Bills. That was against the Buffalo Bills. So when it's all said and done, the Bills, you know, they're a dominant team. They flying high right now. I think they only got one loss, so they're about 6-1. Again, when Aaron Rodgers is on the field, along with Tom Brady, we're talking about football, if he's breathing, he's dangerous. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. If Patrick Mahomes is on the football field, people, if he's breathing, he's dangerous. It doesn't matter how many points you up on him on. I'm not gonna say that these guys pull it out every time, because nobody's perfect. They don't pull it out every time, but 99% of the time they do. 99% of the time they do pull out a win. If he's breathing on the football field, Aaron Rodgers is dangerous, just like all those other people in sports that I just mentioned. You just got those type of people. They know how to win. Aaron Rodgers knows how to win. Do I think he needs to pack it in? By no means at all. I think he should just keep on doing what he's doing. He's got to develop his team. Got to help develop those young receivers. Got to help develop them. So when it's all said and done, you know, when it's all said and done, I think the team is just young. They looked pretty good the other night. I forgot the young man's name that scored the touchdown. Had a nice reception in the end zone. I think his name is Dobbs. I think his last name is Dobbs. I think he's the one that went to probably Nevada, Reno, or wherever he went to school at, some small school program, FCS school or something, no Power Five school, but that really doesn't matter. All that stuff don't matter to me. You know, guys, you know, whatever level that they played in the college, their college player, if you made it on the NFL roster, you're supposed to be there. That's just the way it is. If you're not in the NFL, that means you ain't supposed to be there. If you're on the NFL roster, that means you're supposed to be there. In XFL news, XFL is announcing teams today. They're announcing team names and logos, I believe, today. I saw some stuff on the internet, on Twitter, about some logos and different things like that. So, you know, we'll see what happens with all that stuff. You know, but the XFL, you know, a lot of guys are on the draft board. A lot of guys on the draft board and everything. So a lot of guys, you know, for November the 17th, we're going to be running on my show, we're going to be running a live broadcast during the XFL draft. So we can get those raw emotions from the players as they, you know, get picked. As they, you know, I want to get the frustration from the players that are not getting picked when they think they should go. You know, this is going to be a two-hour broadcast like it is every day, but it's going to be on November 16th, 17th, and it's going to be 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. as usual. But I got six slots per day for six athletes per day to come in and share their passion with us on draft day. So if you want to share, you know, your joy after you get picked with the live global audience, or if you want to share your anger and your disgust and state why you should have been picked already, why you should have came off the draft board by that time, you can share that emotion with us as well. But that's called War Room. The event is called War Room. Why am I still on the draft board? Again, War Room. Why am I still on the draft board? You can get your tickets to War Room. Why am I still on the draft board? On brownpapertickets.com. Just go to brownpapertickets.com, type in War Room. And the subtitle is, Why Am I Still on the Draft Board? It's $100 to be a part of the event. I'm charging to be a part of the event. The sit down at the table and chop it up with us, do your live interview, 15-minute live interview. Excuse me, people. I try not to cough on air, but my throat got a little dry there. But War Room is going to give you that opportunity, that platform, a live global platform, to basically talk about why you're not getting picked. Why am I still on the draft board? Basically, is what is titled, subtitled. Because, you know, I see, you know, like even with the NFL draft, I'll use Lamar Jackson as an example. Lamar Jackson, he sat through, he was like the last pick of the first round, if I'm correct. They didn't take him till like he's just like the last pick. And he was sitting there looking like, goodness, why are they not picking me up? But he was on the board when Baltimore came back around. They snagged him up. Definitely a small move for the Baltimore Ravens to get Lamar Jackson to snag him up. But, you know, they kept interviewing him, if I'm remembering correctly. I think I even remember what he was wearing. He had like on a money green suit, if I'm thinking off the top of my head. So if not, anyway, I know he got picked late in the first round. If I'm correct, he's probably the very last pick of the first round. And everybody kept passing on him, and he was just sitting there like, wow. But I want to get those type of emotions for this XFL draft on November 16th and 17th as well. Get those raw emotions recorded. And all these shows are recorded, and you can have it for a keepsake later on down in your career. You can revert back to where you were, what your emotions were that day as you were waiting to get an XFL camp opportunity. And a lot of guys got to understand when you get drafted, you know, you're getting drafted, but you still got to, you know, when you go to camp, you still got to make the roster. You know, all this stuff to me is like you have the opportunity to be drafted. You're going to go to camp. You're going to go to camp. But if you go to camp and you don't perform, you're still going to go home. I don't think it's like the NFL when you draft somebody, you know, if you drafted them, you know, they're going, you know, you're going to be there. You know, if you drafted them for, I know about the NFL, I don't think they cut after they draft you because you're signing on for money. And you're going to be there. But if you just come in camp as a free agent, you're going to get cut. Just like with, you know, if you don't perform well, you can get cut. Just like with the XFL, if you come into camp after the draft and they call you back as a free agent during their supplemental draft and all that stuff, or just offer you a free agent contract. If you don't get drafted, you'll probably get offered a free agent contract to come in the camp and compete and try to get on the roster if you're good. And if you don't perform well or you get beat out of a job, you might get sent home. But they're also going to be doing a supplemental draft for the XFL, but that draft is going to be for guys in the NFL that, you know, how do they say it? Well, basically for guys like they get cut from the NFL or whatever the case may be, you'll be able to get off into the supplemental draft for the XFL and try to work your way back up. Good news for us, and with pro developmental football free agency is that, you know, the IFL, Indoor Football League, which is league that I support and am very familiar with. We got a lot of contacts there. Those relationships there have become valuable because the XFL and the IFL have a partnership. The IFL is going to operate as a minor league system to pull players up to the XFL level that prove that they're worthy for a workout and to give them an opportunity to make an XFL roster. I'm hearing rumors about possible joint workouts with IFL teams and XFL teams, possible joint workouts, you know, to where IFL teams and XFL teams staff will be, you know, working players out around the country or whatever. So this is a good thing. Plus Hub Camp, they're doing their thing with the USFL. Hub Camp will be here in San Diego on November the 13th. And Hub Camp, you know, that's an opportunity for street free agents and free agents to get involved with their event and do a mini camp style facility invite style workout. So it kind of like prepares you on if you get a facility invite to come in and work out, it's teaching, or you get opportunity to go to like a 3-day mini camp. you know, you'll know what to expect. They're preparing you to operate if you get a workout from an NFL team, whether that's a one-day facility invite workout to see if you can get on a practice squad or something, or if you can go and do a three-day rookie mini camp, come in with the rookies and do a three-day mini camp and see if you can make it to a big camp, to the full camp. So it's teaching guys how to prepare themselves and teaching you the necessary skills and crafts to make you look good when you actually get an opportunity to audition for an NFL team or a CFL team. But at the same time, those teams can do a live look-in and everything like that, do a live look-in while you're doing your workout. So that's going to be Hub Camp November the 13th. They'll be here. I got one of my clients, Patrick Isbell, he'll be performing on, you know, at Hub Camp. So that's a good thing. And I got several players going to be that has gotten IFL contracts. Henry Kellogg, who was in fan control football, Nate Bresson in fan control football, Jacob Ayu in fan control football, who actually went to the championship game with the Board 8s. He went to the People's Championship. And the other two gentlemen, Henry Kellogg and Nate Bresson, they were also in the fan control playoffs. So they're going to be, you know, two of them, Henry Kellogg and Jacob Ayu, will be in Tucson, Arizona for the Tucson Sugar Skulls this spring. And Nate Bresson will be with the champions of the IFL, Northern Arizona Wranglers, playing and learning up under legendary coach in the Arena League, Coach Les Moss. So my three rookies, they're gonna have an opportunity. I got some other rookies that I'm trying to get to go out to a couple rookies, first time going to camp, trying to get them out. And for the fan control football, they're doing their workouts around the country coming up. So I'm trying to get them to get out there to either Georgia, LA, and I think they're doing some stuff in Dallas. So I'm trying to get some of my other rookies that are still looking for an opportunity to get out there and work out for fan control football and try to get an opportunity to play on live TV, because fan control football does have a TV partner in NBC. So we're trying to get them out there to audition and everything like that. It is 9:02 a.m. We're at the top of the hour. 9:02 a.m. here in San Diego, California, 9:02 Pacific Standard Time. It is 60 degrees Fahrenheit, partly sunny in San Diego, California. Got a little cloud, kind of cloudy today. A little cloudy, a little haze in the sky today. You know, just giving you a picture of the San Diego weather. Is beautiful out here. That's one reason why they're bringing Hub Camp back. They was going to do Hub Camp in Florida, but unfortunately, Hurricane Ian, didn't allow them to allow the Hub to be on the East Coast, where it could be a really accessible to the guys on the East Coast. But nevertheless, you know, it's going on, but it's going to be on the West Coast now, and I'll be attending that and watching my guy, Patrick Isbell, who played in the German Football League, GFL 1, with the Frankfurt Galaxy. He played with the Frankfurt Galaxy over there in the GFL 1. So looking forward to him having a really good workout. If you want to know more about Patrick Isbell, you can go on my Twitter page and look at my post about him, and that'll be at Ferran Sports, at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, capital S-P-O-R-T, at Ferran Sports. Currently, I'm trying to get him on, get a look by legendary coach Les Moss with the Northern Arizona Wranglers. I did have confirmation that his package is with coach. He did confirm he got it and everything like that. So, and speaking of that, I wanted to, because, you know, even talking to Coach Moss this morning, I sent a package over and one of the links in the package didn't work. And I don't know why that link was still there, but I had posted up another workable link, but I guess it might have just missed Coach I, but I re-signed it. He was able to open up Patrick Isbell's highlights so he could review his profile. But when you have links that don't work, basically what I'm saying is make sure all your links in your packages work, and get those links that don't work out of your package. Always make sure that your links that you're sending people work, whether it's you're sending it to your manager to send out or whether you're sending something out yourself. Now, always double check and make sure all your links work and stuff like that, because sometimes you only get one chance. These coaches are so busy, and especially you're talking about a legendary coach like Coach Moss. You know, you're talking about, you know, a legendary coach that, you know, they don't have the time. They don't have the time to go back and be double-checking guys' film and all this stuff. So that's why I always just tell guys, make sure your links work. Take the music out of your links. If you're going to do anything with your link, like putting music in it, make sure it's like some upbeat jazz. You can do some upbeat jazz. But I'll just say it like this. Just make sure it's you can do a jazz track, because smooth jazz has no music. Do your smooth jazz track. That has no lyrics. Smooth jazz doesn't have lyrics. Of course, you know, jazz is just music. So you can do a smooth jazz track because it doesn't have any lyrics. Or you can do a hip hop beat for your highlights and everything like that. Because if you're just doing a hip hop beat, it's not any lyrics. But when you try to put a song in your highlights, sometimes that music can be offensive. I mean, I ran across that about 2 weeks ago. Had to tell a guy at the last minute, hey, man, take that music out, because they're trying to look at the USFL team is kind of like looking at you to possibly bring you into camp. And excuse me, people, I've got a little cough going on here. Excuse me one second. Let me get a drink of water. That's better. So hopefully again, like I had to tell the young man to take his music out of the music, the songs out of the track, out of the highlights, to either use just a beat with no lyrics or just take the music out. I think he wound up just taking the music all the way out, which made sense to me. Just take all the music out just so they can see you play. Another tidbit when we're talking about film, it's not just your highlight that they're looking at the highest level. You need to have two full games, two of your best games. To get a full game, what you think is two of your best games, so they can actually see the whole play, actually see what you're doing after, you know, what you're doing after you make your play. So you want to have two full game links, and you want to also have your highlight link. And remember, highlight, the key word in highlight is high. It's not a low light. You're doing your highlights, so that means you're trying to portray what you do good. But, you know, highlights, you might have had a couple good catches, maybe scored a touchdown, had a couple good runs. But when they look at the full game film, they're going to see, hey, he doesn't block well. He can't block. They're going to see, you know, if you're a running back, they're going to see, well, when they threw you the ball, you don't have good hands, you can't catch well. You know, they're going to see as offensive linemen, you know, you give up on the play. You know, after a certain amount of time, you give up on plays, things of that nature. That's what the whole game film shows you, whole game film. That's why they ask you for two whole games and a highlight reel. When you make your highlight reel, make sure it's no more than 3 minutes. I say no more than 3 minutes because after 3 minutes, even I lose interest. But if you got a lot of highlights and you're trying to get everybody to see you made a lot of plays, no more than five. So I'll say, No more than 3 to 5 minutes. No more than 3 to 5 minutes. So definitely no more than five. And you want to give them at least about, you know, 3 minutes to actually see what you can do. So 3 to 5 minutes, make your highlight 3 to 5 minutes. But I'll try to make sure the best plays are in the first 3 minutes, because the coach may not want to sit there for 5 minutes and look at your highlights. So that's just my little tidbit. So remember that, guys, street free agents out there, they're still looking for an opportunity, because you didn't get to the NFL last year, but you're still looking to try to go to the USFL or the XFL. The routes I'll take you is through the IFL and through Hub Camp. The routes I'm going to take you is through the IFL Hub Camp. Right below that, we got Fan Control Football. We got the National Arena League. And those are the other, in the Champions Indoor Football League, CIFL, those are the three options, you know, under that. So my system is always going to go For the XFL, you're going to go to IFL. For USFL, you're going to go HUD. Right below that, we're going to drop in the Fan Control Football because they have a national TV partner. Right next to that, we got the National Arena League because I have connections there. And then we're going to go right next to that, Champions Indoor Football League, because I have connections there as well. So that's the way my system's going to work. If you want to work with me, DM me at Ferran Sports on Twitter, at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, at Ferran, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, at Ferran Sports on Twitter. You can go ahead and DM me there. And if you got any questions about that, but it is $100, you can pay that via PayPal. I'll send you my scan code to pay me, $100 to get you going. Or you can cash out $Ferran1, $100 to pay me to get you going. And again, I can send you my QR code for PayPal, or I can send you you can pay me cash out. This cash out $, my last name F-E-R-R-A-N-D, and the number one at $Ferran1. Again, $Ferran1 on cash out. So it's $100 to work with me, and I think it will be well worth you paying the $100 so I can put your film out in circulation, get you in front of these coaches and everything like that. At the same time, if you'd like to come on the Stokers and Beer radio show, because we do have an educational platform for and it's called our Street Free Agent Athlete Spotlight of the Day, and we feature street free agents that, for example, if you went undrafted either this year or in the last couple of years, you went undrafted and you want to get on the show and tell your story on, you know, why you didn't make it to the NFL up to this point. We ask you to tell your story from high school to college, college to pro, and talk about your experience as a free agent. And by telling your story, you're helping other people that's coming behind you. You're going to be helping other young men and young women that's coming behind you that's going to be soon to be street free agents in whatever sport they play. Because even if you're a female, you play college basketball, and I have had a female college basketball player on here, and I'm going to have some more here real soon. If you don't make it out of college, you're also a street free agent because you didn't get to go to a WNBA camp or high-level FIBA camp overseas. So it's not just about the guys, it's about the girls too. I have had a female call into the show, and that's Janisa. She called onto the show. She's also a hip-hop artist. I need to contact her because she's trying to come out to San Diego and work on a tour. I need to call her this morning and follow back up because she reached out to me, and I have not been able to get back. I've been so busy with football free agency, I haven't been able to really get back with her on her tour. On her tour aspects. So, but we'll talk. So Janisa, if you're out there listening, Janisa, I'll be calling you later today so we can talk. I haven't forgot about you. But I do, like I said, I'm going to start getting some more of my females on the show so they can tell their stories as well. But the reason why we do the Street Free Agent Athlete Spotlight is just for that reason. So the athletes can give up-and-coming street free agents, because you're going to have a bunch of free agents every year that don't get drafted. And I call you street free agents because if you didn't go to an NFL mini camp, if you don't have an NFL tag on you at some level, I just call you a street free agent because you graduated college and you went to the street. That's what happened. I mean, and I'm not saying you're not in the gym working, but you're a street free agent because you're not affiliated with any professional sports league at the highest level, like the CFL or the NFL. That's how I qualify you. If you went to the Canadian Football League and you done a 3-day workout with them, I call you a CFL free agent. If you got done an NFL workout, I'll call you an NFL free agent or just a free agent, because, you know, free agent means that the NFL can call you and pick you right back up with another team, you know, because you're in that system, that your name is in that system. You worked out for somebody, in a camp, you know. So that's why I call you a NFL free agent, because you actually were being looked at by the NFL. So even like my man Vern Tevis came on the show the other day, you know, a little while ago, about a month ago. Did a real good interview, and I have to remember that I can't really call him a street free agent because he actually did work out for the New Orleans Saints. I forgot, totally forgot about all that. He actually was in camp with the Saints for about 3 or 4 days in a regional combine. When they were doing the regional combine, he was in part of their regional combine, and he worked out with the Saints for about 3 days. He didn't get offered a contract, but he did work out for the Saints, and they do have his information. So they had his information, so they could have called him back for whatever reason if somebody went down. But he did get an NFL workout. So that's who I would consider a actual free agent, because he did go out of Texas A&M, Kingsville. He did get a workout with the New Orleans Saints when they were still doing their regional combines. And last time I spoke with Troy Vincent about a year or so ago, I asked him about those regional combines, and he told me that they were going to be trying to bring those regional combines back, mainly for those small school athletes who don't get a look. Because what a lot of people don't know is that when you're in college, the NFL, they only go to certain schools. Certain schools get visits. If you're playing at an NAIA program, they don't get a visit unless somebody is connected with the coach or the AD. They'll get a visit. It's kind of like you got to know some people to get that visit. And if you don't know somebody, you know, a lot of those kids that play at the NAIA level, unfortunately, they don't get a visit. But what I'm going to do, once I finally make it to the level that I'm trying to make it at, I'm going to make sure that those NAIA schools, they're going to get a visit. I'm going to make sure all of them get a visit, because it's not fair that people don't go and check these schools out. And I'm not saying all of them don't get a look, but it's usually because their coaches know somebody that's an NFL scout, up-and-coming NFL scout, and then they'll get somebody out there to take a look at them and do a pro day, put a pro day on for them and stuff like that. So it does happen. I mean, we had a young man from Culver Stockton, offensive lineman, that did the combine. I don't know if he made a roster or not, but he did go to the NFL combine because he was dominant at the level that he was playing at, and he got an opportunity to go up and do the NFL combine. So I'm not saying that NAIA schools don't get an opportunity. I'm just saying 99.9% of the time they don't. And it's going to be real. Same thing with NCAA Division III schools. Same thing there. You know, they've gotten people in and got workouts and stuff like that, but usually they're not set to have a NFL rep come out there and watch their program. Division II, I think they get one visit. Division I, FCS, you know, and anything FBS, you know, they're going to get visits because it's Division I football. They're going to get the visits. And I think they all get about 3 or 4 visits from NFL teams. So that's why, you know, especially if you are in a playoff school, you're going to have people come out. If you're a playoff school like a North Dakota, a South Dakota, James Madison, you know, Jacksonville, those type of schools that you always see them peak up in the playoffs, they're going to get a visit. If you're like a Notre Dame College, Ferris State, teams like that, that's always in the Division II playoffs, you're going to get a visit. So it just depends. All this stuff is not fair, but I'm just trying to make it evenly across the board for the smaller school kids when I get finally get put in place, so these kids can get looked at. Everybody deserves to get a look. So, you know, tonight we got the Major League Baseball playoffs continuing. They had a delay last night. I think they were in a weather delay last night, so they didn't get to play last night. They're moving the game tonight, which is good because I don't have to bounce back from basketball. I'm sorry, from football. I was going to have to bounce back from Monday Night Football and Major League Baseball. I'm glad that, you know, they're playing tonight and there's nothing really competing with them football-wise. Besides, you know, one thing that's competing with them is, of course, the NBA. NBA on TNT is probably going to be happening tonight. NBA on TNT because it's Tuesday. So, yeah, there'll be some competition for baseball. But, you know, I'm going to be pretty much watching the game tonight because I – saw some of game one. Didn't get to see none of game two because I was traveling. And but game three, I'll be locked in tonight. I'm going to try to get my man JB and my man DC on the show tomorrow. Probably JB tomorrow because DC probably won't be available. But I'll get my man JB. He was one of my baseball analysts and basketball analysts that contributes to the show. Get him on here and break down some Major League Baseball stuff that both teams need to do to be successful. And at the same time, talk a little bit about some NBA basketball because he's a big basketball enthusiast and stuff like that. Across the monitor, they talk about Kyrie Irving defends social media promotion of anti-Semitic film. The deleted controversial anti-Semitic tweet. No specifics on disciplinary action. Again, Kyrie Irving defends social media promotion of anti-Semitic film. Deleted controversial anti-Semitic tweet. No specifics on disciplinary action. So, you know, we got all kind of stuff going on with that. You know, with Kyrie Irving, he's back in the news. Also, Bengals fall to 4-4. And NFL news, Bengals fall to 4-4, Burrow 25 for 35, 232 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception fumble. So, you know, got a lot, I don't know what's going on with the Bengals. I thought it would have been a bounce-back game. I thought Joe Cool would have been able to come out there and out-duel the Jacoby Brissett for the Bengals, for the Browns. I thought Joe Burrow would outdo Brissett, but it didn't happen like that. Brissett put on the show last night. He showed poise in the pocket. I think I only saw him throw one bad pass. He probably wanted that one back, but I think there was he threw an interception on that pass, if I'm correct, when he should have just took a sack. And like Peyton Manning was saying in the pregame notes, he said that Brissett has a good arm, he plays well in the pocket, but he sometimes throws some balls that he shouldn't throw. Instead of just taking a sack, because thinking about taking a sack, you'll still have the ball. I'd rather have the ball than just throw a pick. Just take the sack, and you'll still have the ball the next play. So I like what Peyton Manning said about that. It's all about ball possession, possession of the football, and you still have an opportunity. Still got another down. So, you know. So that was just good information that Peyton Manning had put out there in the pregame show. They also say Rams at the Bucks Sunday, 4:25 Eastern. They got the Bucks -3. Tom Brady embraces unfamiliar territory. The Bucks 3-5 on a 3-game losing streak and 2 games under 500. Tom Brady embraces unfamiliar territory with the Bucks 3-5 on a 3-game losing streak and 2 games under 500. Well, you know, Father Time is undefeated, and also every dog has his day. I believe every dog has his day. If you play something so long, you eventually gonna start losing. You'll get your opportunity to be a loser. Look at the Golden State Warriors. You know, when KD was hurt, Steph was hurt, it just left Draymond pretty much out there to try to run things. And there was no Steph, there was no Clay. There was no KD, and, you know, Draymond made a good statement. He said, you know, it's just our turn to get our butts kicked. We've been kicking butt for the last couple of years, dominating this game for the last couple of years. It's just our turn now to get our butts kicked. And I think they went, you know, by 2 years, Golden State wasn't winning, you know, because everybody was hurt. People were hurt. And so when that happens, it's just time for the Wolves going to come in. When the Wolves come in, hey, it is what it is. It's your time to get your butt kicked. Tom Brady's in that situation. He's in that situation to where he basically has to, you know, embrace losing for whatever reason. Whether it's him, he's part of a public was part of a public divorce. I mean, it wasn't nasty public, but it was public. Everybody knew that, you know, the word got leaked that they had filed for a divorce. Then, you know, before that came out, they were wondering, well, why did he need to take off for 11 days? He took off 11 days out of training camp before the season started. Why is he leaving for 11 days. Well, then it came out later that he probably was dealing with some divorce stuff. He needed, you know, about 10, 11 days to just, you know, break up the money, the assets, probably, you know, work out visitation schedule. That has to happen when you got kids involved, that, or it needs to happen. I have kids, so I'm not speaking about nothing I don't know. When I got divorced, I had to do the same thing. I didn't have any money to talk about breaking up, but at least a visitation schedule and child support for my daughter. So I'm quite sure he needed to do that. And I'm going to tell you, while I was going through that process, it wasn't good. That's back in the day when I was trying to pursue a boxing career, and my head was all over the place. So I wasn't able to perform well as an athlete, because you can't think about, you know, your professional aspirations. At that time, I was an amateur trying to go pro, but you can't think about your amateur aspirations or any professional future aspirations when you're going through a divorce. It's a lot of heartbreak, heartache. And people think just because you got money, it's going to be different because of the money. I've never been rich. But what I'm saying is, I think whether you're broke, in my opinion, whether you're broke or whether you have real financial assets, it still hurts. You're not walking around saying, oh, yeah, after this divorce, I'm still going to have a big house, big money. Because the people that you shared all this stuff with are not there every day now. Now you're there by yourself in this house, or if you let them have the house and you went got you an apartment, it's going to be a level of change in your life that you're not used to. Even though him being a pro athlete, I'm quite sure Brady being a pro athlete, he probably was like, you know, I cherish the times in the off season. For the 6 months that I'm in the off season, I cherish the times of being at home with my family. You know, I'm quite sure he probably was doing commercials and other business ventures that he has of his own. But he knew that he was in the off season. I got more time to spend, 6 months to spend with my children and my wife. But when you get divorced, the wife is gone. And now, you know, a lot of times you're picking up the kids and you're just spending time with your kid. And that other person that made the family is not there, because we're not a family anymore. We're just, you know, parents and kids now. But I think that they, and what it sounds like, is they're going to be, you know, focusing on the kids, and they're going to be friends for the kids. And that's a good thing. You can be friends with your ex for the kids' sake, you know. Just giving y'all people in the global listening audience that don't know much about marriage and family, I've been there, I've done that, and I've also been trying to be an athlete through a nasty divorce. Mine was nasty. You know, so it was a lot of, I was young, she was young, it was a nasty divorce. So I what I'm saying is that I can understand Tom Brady being on a 3-5 year, three wins, five losses. They're 3-5. They're currently in second place in the weak NFC South, with the New Orleans Saints right behind them. You know, because they beat the Saints, so we're behind them. But the Falcons are sitting there 4-4 in the NFC South. So, the Bucs, the Saints, we're all one game behind, one game off the lead, which is which is owned by the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons own the lead, 4-4 in the NFC South. Then we got the 3-5 Bucs, 3-5 Saints, 2-6 Panthers. I was hoping that the Panthers, Carolina Panthers, with P.J. Walker at the helm, was going to be able to outdo Marcus Mariota, and they really should have won that game. They really should have won that game and everything like that, but they didn't win the game because I think he missed an extra point and then two field goals in overtime or something like that, or extra point and a field goal. And then Young Wei Koo with the Atlanta Falcons, he came in and kicked the game-winning field goal in overtime, and which put the Atlanta Falcons in the driver's seat in the NFC South at 4-4. But I say all that to say again that with Tom Brady can come back. I mean, because, you know, the NFC South is weak. It's up for grabs for anybody, whoever gets hot. I'm hoping that my Saints stay hot like they did when they beat the Raiders this weekend. And right now they're talking about on the monitor, the Raiders -1.5 at the Jaguars, Raiders -1.5 at the Jaguars. The Raiders owner, Josh McDaniel, was our head coach. Do the Raiders need to make a change at head coach next season? Again, the Raiders owners are saying that Josh McDaniels is our head coach, and the people are asking, do the Raiders need to make a change at head coach next season? Is Josh McDaniel going to be a one-and-done coach? I don't think so. It's his first year. This man coached up under Bill Belichick, arguably the greatest mind in professional football, Bill Belichick, definitely defensively. So I just think that nobody was going to beat the Saints this weekend. Saints came out hungry. They came out hungry, and they came out ready. So all I'm saying is that nobody was going to beat the Saints against the Saints, and they wouldn't beat the Saints. So I think that everybody needs to lay off of Josh McDaniel, lay off of him a little bit, because at the end of the day, you know, he just ran into a New Orleans Saints team that wasn't playing around. Excuse me, folks, I made a mistake and muted out my line there for a brief second. Sorry about that, a little technical difficulty there. But nobody was going to beat the Saints on Sunday. And I was hoping that my man DC called in. I don't know what happened to him. He's absent from the show today, nowhere to be found. Probably didn't want to call in and talk about that, that what I call a janky move, that the Baltimore Ravens pulled going to get Roquan Smith from the Chicago Bears just to make sure that they had extra defense to stop Alvin Kamara on our Monday Night Football coming up. Saints, Ravens in the dome. But what the Bears don't understand is, you know, Roquan Smith is too big and too bulky to keep up with that little shifty Alvin Kamara. It's not going to help. Plus he's only going to been in camp, been in the facility for a week. Is he really going to know the scheme? Probably not. They should have just basically, you know, just, you know, if they got him, that's fine. They got him. But I wouldn't put him on the field, not against the Saints. It's just going to be in the way. You need to play with what you got. But I really feel like the only reason why they went and got Roquan Smith because they seen the way the Saints dominated the Las Vegas Raiders. They seen the Saints dominated this weekend. And I just feel like that they said, you know what, we're not going to the Dome and getting embarrassed. Well, unfortunately, you are going to the Dome and getting embarrassed. In NHL news, we got the Bruins and the Penguins tonight. Bruins and the Penguins tonight, 8 Eastern. Bruins at the Penguins in NHL news. Going back to football, back to what I was saying about the Saints and the Ravens next Monday. All I got to say is, you know, and I can't wait till that Tuesday after the game because I'm going to make sure DC is on this line. He's hiding out there somewhere because he didn't want to give account of the move that they pulled, that his team pulled, the Baltimore Ravens. You know, he didn't want to give account. And DC is my number one sports contributor on the show, but all of a sudden this morning he didn't call in and talk about football. He didn't call in and talk about the game last night, which the Browns, they looking good. So the next time they play, Cleveland, you know, there's something to be said about that because Jacoby Brissett is playing good football. I don't even know if Deshaun Watson is going to be cleared to come back because he got new sexual assault allegations. You know, understand, they might as well just basically put out a fund for everybody that can just call in and make a complaint about Deshaun Watson. He really just needs to put out about $50 million. And everybody that calls in, you know, gets about $250,000 in hush money to just go and sit down. He just go sit down. You know, and it just needs to be a cap on the thing. And, you know, I ain't going to say a cap. I'll just say this here. He just needs to put down a put out about $50 million. So every time one of these females come that he allegedly assaulted in whatever way, whether it was verbal or physical assault, he needs to have $50 million out there in a fund, in a trust fund, to where when these young women call Gloria Allred and say, hey, I just want to go ahead on and tell my side of the story with him, tell my experience. And it just needs to be, they just need to be able to say, hey, you can go ahead and tell your side of the story, and here's $250,000, you know, for your trouble, for what you went through. The only way that Deshaun Watson is going to be able to get away from all this this scandal that he created. Don't get me wrong, it ain't the female fault. This is something that Deshaun Watson himself, from everything that I see, this is this is what I'm seeing as far as Deshaun Watson go. You know, it's not, I don't say it's evidence because he hadn't been charged, but it's just, this is the information that they're putting out that he did something to contribute to his demise financially and professionally. All right, we got finally somebody decided to show up for work this morning. At the, you know, we got 35 minutes left, and we got DC in Baltimore, Maryland. I guess he finally got my text, and I don't know if he's been listening to the show or not, but you know, I'm gonna let you know before I come to you, DC. You're gonna be treated as a hostile witness. I know you got some legal experience. You took a couple legal classes. You think you got a some kind of certificate in legal studies. So you know what, being, I have the right to treat you as a hostile witness when I put you on the stand this morning, because I'm letting everybody know, if it pleases the global listening community, I'm going to treat DC, my number one sports contributor on this show, who's calling in late, I'm going to treat you as a hostile witness. And what I'm going to debate you about as a hostile witness is the fact that you guys went out and made a trade, and I don't like the trade. You went out, you got Roquan Smith just to try to stop Alvin Kamara next Sunday in the Superdome. You seen the way we played yesterday. You seen that we're hungry, we're out for blood. Currently one game off the lead in our division. And then you go out and you go and get Roquan Smith from a struggling Chicago Bear team that needed him. They had already let one guy go. Roquan Smith was crying because they let his boy go to the thing. The Eagles picked his partner up. I forgot his name. Then they dealt off. Then you guys went and had to jump on top of the bandwagon. Well, let's get Roquan from over there in Chicago, because we got to go play the Saints. We need him to stop Alvin Kamara. The Saints look good. The Raiders laid an egg. We need Roquan Smith. I think I just really wish y'all had the integrity to play us straight up with the team y'all had already had. We didn't make no big trades before Monday, and I think today is the trade deadline. I think today, you can correct me on that when I chime you in. But I want you to give account of yourself. Why would y'all put just I want you to admit to the global listening community that the Baltimore Ravens went out and got Roquan Smith from the Chicago Bears just for this game on Monday night, just for that purpose. Now, you might argue, oh, no, we did that for the season. Yeah, maybe not, but it's my show. I see it this way. You got him because you was afraid that we was going to stomp a mud hole in you, but you got a mud hole coming anyway. Good morning, sir. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're on the air. Good morning.
Thank you for that introduction. I must let you know that, yes, we got Roquan Smith for multiple reasons. One, we got him so that we can stomp Alvin Kamara, but we also got him because it's November. And we all know in November and December, that's when teams start running the football, and we wanted to make sure that we tightened up and our linebacker core. Also, we got rid of A.J. Klein, who was a fringe linebacker that we picked up off of free agency a few years ago, and he's been bouncing between the practice squad and the actual roster. So we were able to unload a fringe linebacker for and two draft picks for, obviously, the best linebacker in football right now. So it was a smart move from our front office, and I was pretty proud of them to make such a bold move literally hours before the trade deadline is over.
You know, I'm not gonna lie to you. It pissed me off. I'm not gonna lie to you. When I seen it, I had to wipe my eyes a couple times. You know, because I'm just like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, you know, why can't they just play us with the team that they already have? But again, you say that y'all got the job for multiple reasons or whatever the case may be. So be it. Another thing that upset me is that they got y'all minus 3.5 or whatever over us in the Superdome. And I'm like, are they crazy?
But we're clearly the favorite. I mean, we're the favorites. Now, I will give you guys credit.
Did you see us Sunday?
I will give you guys credit. Offensively, you seem to be on fire in your last four games offensively. And in fact, you know, Jameis is healthy, but you chose to go with Andy Dalton, and he did not disappoint, which is funny because the previous game that you guys were on, was it Sunday Night Football or was it Monday Night? Y'all was playing
Thursday
on prime
night.
Time.
P&F.
And, yeah, Thursday P&F. Night. Right, and right. And while Andy Dalton's numbers overall was great out of the game early. But either way, y'all still put up good numbers offensively. So yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think we're going to cut – Vegas got it right. And they only gave you guys three – they only gave us 3.5 because our defense sometimes gives up the lead. Like, you could argue the Ravens would be undefeated had it not been for those fourth-quarter collapses in three games. So, you guys –
But see, this
is
going to be the problem, though. This is going to be the problem. Hear me out here. This is going to be the problem. You guys are going to make the mistake of putting a guy on the football field that's only been in the facility for a couple of days. You're going to put him out there on defense. And number one, he's too big. He's a bigger linebacker. He's not going to be able to stop the shiftiness and quickness of Alvin Kamara. He's not going to be able to catch up with him. And then on top of that, Roquan Swift ain't going to know the scheme. He's not going to know the scheme. So in my opinion, and I'm quite sure you agree, you should just sit him out for this game. Just because he's going to be in the way.
Oh, no.
He's going to be more of a distraction than an asset.
Oh, no. Oh, no, because he's a football player. And because he's a football player, I mean, these guys are professionals. They've been doing this for a long time. Run, block, tackle, right? So, obviously, if you're New Orleans, you want to exploit him. If you can have some exotic offensive schemes where you're now giving him an opportunity to – make a decision within the play call and sure. So he might get gashed for a play or two here and there. But remember, he's already played you guys, right? I mean, you guys are in the same conference, the Bears and the Saints. You're not in the same division, but you're in the same conference. So he's been seeing y'all before. So it's not like he hasn't played against your coaching staff and all that. And he actually could help the defense because he has played you guys recently, and he could say, "Hey, they like to do this better, and when they line up in this formation, that's typically when they do a counter with Kamara." So I think this is a win-win for the Ravens, not just for Monday night, but also for the rest of the season. And so I think it's a smart move.
I don't know, because we got Mark Ingram, and Mark Ingram knows everything about what y'all do on the defense because he's the one he's on the first string offense going against y'all first string defense. So he already know how y'all going to move linebackers and all these different packages that y'all going to do. Mark Ingram's already coaching. So we already know.
All that's true, but Mark Ingram isn't exactly, he isn't Alvin Kamara, right? It's one thing to know what another team's going to do. Another thing to be able to stop it, and he can't stop it.
Well, like I said, he'll at least be able to let us know what they're doing, so Alvin Kamara can be prepared, know what we got to do. But again, I don't like the move. I mean, I'm not gonna beat the dead horse. I don't like the move. I think it was a weak move, sort of like how when they said when KD left the Oklahoma City Thunder, and went to the Golden State Warriors. The experts in the field. And media was saying that it's the weakest move that they ever seen in professional sports. I think this here one is even more weaker because it was at the last minute. And I ain't gonna lie, it made me sick to my stomach. I almost threw up. But I couldn't believe that you guys would be that low and go and get that guy at the last minute before y'all faced us. It's almost like hey, hurry up and get Roquan. You know, do you see the Saints this weekend? We can't deal with that Saints. But the truth of the matter is, nobody was going to beat us on Sunday because we were hungry. So now, going into some more NFL news, they're talking about letting Josh McDaniel go. Is he going to be a one and done? The general manager is saying, no, this is our quarterback, blah, 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 blah. Do you think it's fair to let Josh McDaniel go? And they're set up to be -1.5 against the Jaguars on Sunday. But you think it's fair to let him go because of his performance with the Saints? I think it's – I don't think they should because nobody was going to beat the Saints Sunday.
I do think it's fair to let him go because when you go out and get the best wide receiver in the game and Davante Adams, you got Waller as a tight end. You got all of these weapons. The running game is nice with Jacobs and the other cat. You got all these weapons, and yet you're at the bottom of your division. And so you can't go spend all that money. Right. You can't go spend all that money and not produce. Right. You just can't. And so the ownership made a commitment to winning, and so that's what they want. And the fans. I mean, I saw the Twitter feed on the fans. The fans were begging for the ownership to fire that guy. And then, of course, he met with the team ownership after the game for a few hours. Because you know why? Because they called him to the carpet. They want to know what's he doing, what's his plan, what's happening here, right? When you pay these guys professionals and you pay these guys millions of dollars to produce, you expect them to do just that, produce.
In other NFL news, with the Cleveland Browns winning last night against the Bengals, which I'm just surprised that Joe Burrow got outdued by Jacoby Brissett. With that win last night for the Browns, how did that shake up y'all division? How is the Baltimore Ravens affected? And do you see fear now the next time y'all face the Browns? Because whether they get Deshaun Watson back or not, Jacoby Brissett is playing damn good ball.
Well, number one, I think it buried Cincinnati. I think that loss proved that Cincinnati has zero chances of winning the division as well as making the playoffs. You figure the Ravens have the tiebreaker on Cincinnati already, and we played them the very last week of the season. But at this point, it doesn't even look like that last game is going to matter regarding the division. As far as Cleveland goes, yes, Jacoby has been playing very well this year. I mean, they even the games that they lost, he kept them in it. So I think he's a sound backup, and I think, you know, he did his job for Deshaun. You know, the sad part is Deshaun's going to need a couple of games to get back, and game shape. And so they might take some losses there. But I'll tell you this, I think Cleveland is going to lose Kareem Hunt. I think he's going to be a trade deadline. You know, the trade deadline is 4 p.m. today, so in a couple of hours, 4 p.m. Eastern, I believe. And I think that Kareem Hunt's going to leave Cleveland in a trade. I know I would. I would definitely trade him. Nick Chubb is an outstanding back. And, you know, you're not going to keep paying to pay these guys all this money to be a backup. So I see Cleveland not making the playoffs, but I definitely see them being a tougher opponent than Cincinnati.
What did you guys give up to get Roquan Smith? Because they're saying that the Bears got some 2023 draft picks, but
we gave up a second round pick, a fifth round pick, and a backup linebacker named AJ Klein. Who, like I say, he's kind of a fringe player. He bounced from the practice squad to the regular roster a few times over the last couple of years, and we picked him up off free agency. We didn't draft him, so
no cash.
So we actually
involved.
No cash, just one player and two draft picks.
I figured y'all got. Go ahead.
Well, here's the cool part about it. If Roquan Smith at the end of the season doesn't re-sign with the Ravens, if he decides to be a free agent, then the Ravens get a compensatory pick for him. They get a third-round pick for him. So even though they got rid of two picks and a player to get him, if he doesn't re-sign with us at the end of the season, we get a draft pick to replace him.
Third round. They didn't get no first round picks from y'all for Roquan. That's crazy. Got over.
Correct. This was win a chicken dinner, right? You got arguably the best linebacker in the league, and then on top of that, if he stays, you still got the arguably the best linebacker in the league. If he leaves, you get a draft pick to replace him. You lost a fringe player and a second and a fifth round. So you won, regardless. You won.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just like, they must just need to unload him for salary cap. That's the only thing I can see. That's crazy to me. That they had to unload him for salary because they let the other guy go. They let the other guy go who was a defensive tackle, something like that.
Yep.
They let him go to the Eagles. And I'm like, they must have just been trying to unload to get some more players around the quarterback. What's his name? Justin, I can't think of the kid's last
Fields.
Name, the quarterback for the Bears. Justin Fields.
Fields.
They must
yep.
decide to just unload and then just, get picks. I don't know what the Eagles gave up in picks for that, but that's the only thing I can see. They're trying to get an offensive line. They're trying to get offensive line. That's got to be it. You know, I don't know how you see that, but that's the only thing I can see with that whole situation. But going into Major League Baseball real quick before I close the show out, who we got tonight? The game was in a weather delay. Who we got, Astros or we got the Phillies? Tell me why. Go ahead.
I'm still going with Houston. I still think Houston is going to win a gentleman's sweep. I understand that it's tied 1-1, but I'm just going with Houston. I think they are the better team overall. I think Philly got hot at the right time. I mean, you argue Philly was the 11th best team to make the playoffs. I mean, in June of this year, they were below 500, and then they just squeaked in the playoffs. I just don't think that they are the best team. I think they're just hot at the right time, but I don't think they're the best team. I equate it to, remember when the Ravens went to the Super Bowl against the 49ers, right? Colin Kaepernick just came out of nowhere as an injury replacement, had that great year, and they just blew everybody away and got to the Super Bowl. But in the end, they lost to a better team. You know, remember the Ravens the year before had lost to New England on that drop touchdown pass and the missed kick. And the year before that, they had, you know, heartbreaking losses in the playoffs and all that. They were just a better team. They kept working and striving to get to the title. And I think that's where they differ from that's where I feel like Houston has the edge here. Houston is just a better team. Philly just got hot at the right time. So I do think that Houston will win it. You know, I'll use this, Philly against the Dodgers. I mean, against the Padres, right? The Padres World Series was beating the Dodgers, and once they got past the Dodgers, they were like, okay, we're good. We're going to World Series because we're going to blow by Philly because we got past the Dodgers, and it didn't happen. And here,
right.
I think for Philly, it was just, oh my God, we made it to the World Series. And we won a game, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I think it's going to be a gentleman's sweep. I think it's going to be 5-1, 4-1. So it'll go five games, but I still say Houston's going to win it.
Here's the case of the moment before I let you get off the show, because like I said, baseball is my third love. When it comes down to when I'm watching the game and they keep the pitch count, they keep saying ball strike, but a guy's fouling. How in the hell many fouls constitute for a strike?
All right, so I'm glad you bring it up. So if you foul off a pitch, that's a strike. Once you get the two strikes, you can literally keep fouling off every pitch that come your way, and you'll still get an opportunity to hit. And so if you don't have any strikes called, but then you go up there hacking and whacking and you foul off two pitches, now you're at two strikes. But, you know, when we played in the neighborhood, if you foul tipped it three or four times, we said, well, you struck out, right? But in the pros, they don't do that. So you could go up there and see 12 pitches. If you foul off all 12 pitches and then finally get a good hit, then that's how it works.
Okay, so two, the first two fouls constitutes a strike.
Right, and then after that, it's just, you just got two strikes. So any pitch you foul off is just still two strikes.
And there's no difference between whether you don't clear the pole or whether you tip it back, foul it backwards. It's the same thing, right?
Right, as long as it wasn't hitting fair territory, it was a foul ball.
Gotcha. Well, look, man, I want to thank you for coming on the show this morning, man. I thought you was ducking and diving, hiding from me, because my goal was to treat you as a hostile witness this morning. But we got it all sorted out, and congrats on the pick. But I'm going to tell you right now, when y'all come to the Dome, man, you couldn't leave it out of there with an L. Y'all ain't got a chance, not against this same team.
Well, we can talk off-air about a small wager. We can talk about a small wager, right?
You know I'm in church, man. I ain't supposed to gamble, so I'm going to stay away from that.
We can talk off-air about a small wager. I won't put you on the spot in front of all your listeners. We can do it on the side, small wager, you know.
All right, man. Well,
just
thanks
me,
for coming
and
on
Jesus
the show, man.
All right.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, man, and we'll get you back on here later.
All right.
Have a good day. Yes. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokies and Beer Radio Show, and that was our number one sports contributor, DC, out of Baltimore, Maryland, calling in, talking everything NFL and Major League Baseball related. And so, you know, we had, you know, everything worked out. I wanted to get him on the show and treat him as a hostile witness. But with that being said, we at the end of the show, and we're going to try to come back tomorrow and talk some Major League Baseball recap from the World Series tonight. And that's going to be airing this evening. They was in the weather delay yesterday, so the Major League Baseball World Series will resume tonight, and that'll be our topic for tomorrow. But with that being said, I am your host, Miro Ferrant, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokies and Beer Radio Show. The Stokies and Beer Radio Show can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we are broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. That's WBEST Chula Vista, California. Again, I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokies and Beer Radio Show. We're going to go ahead on and set black and fade all. Everybody stay safe out there. Get your COVID booster. Get your flu shots. Flu season, cold season is back around. Keep your mask on. Keep your hands sanitized. And remember, first and foremost, treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Be light, not darkness. Love, not hate. Love one another. And we're all one race. That's the human race. Treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Pray for those that are in the war in Ukraine. And also pray for Brittany Griner for her safe release as soon as possible. We're going to keep Brittany Griner in our prayers. We haven't forgot about her. Keep your prayers up for her that she get released from the Russian prison and able to come home ASAP. All right. With that being said, we're going to close the show out, and we'll see you tomorrow. Set black, fade all. Have a good morning.